We have a series, Living in Hope, from 1 Peter. Today we're looking at suffering. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Owen's preparation. He has come today anticipating that you might use him and might speak through him to us. Well, we may not be as prepared as Owen. So I pray for our heart's preparation, that it'll be ready to receive the seed of your word and produce good fruit. As we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thanks, Owen.
Thanks very much, Jace. I appreciate it. You know, the Bible reading carries a bit of extra weight when the senior pastor's reading it. So thanks for that help. And I appreciated the worship team this morning too. Alice, you were doing it all, really, weren't you? Interviews and singing. And the young boy band really showed a lot of potential. So that was encouraging to see, looking for big things in the years to come. It's good to have you all with us. I'd particularly like to welcome my daughter Jess and son-in-law Luke, who are visiting from Aldinga. And online, my daughter Rachel and son-in-law Sam from Seattle. It's also good I saw Kim and Rosie sneak back in. Good to have you guys back. Kim's an elder here and they've been in the Northern Territory for what seems like a long time. But good to have all of you with us. And I really want to spend a bit of time looking at living with hostility and how to honour God in a hostile world. As Jason said, we've been doing a series on this book of 1 Peter, which was written by Peter, some think, with some help from Silas. And it's a very pastoral letter. It's encouraging scattered Christians to live for God in a society that really doesn't know him. And it emphasises godly behaviour in the midst of suffering. And I wanted to show you a short video. I think hostility is all around us and can occur at any age. So I'm just going to show you a little video that highlights that.
You in jail and time out.
Well, let me tell you this, Linda.
My name ain't Linda.
So you sit right there in timeout, little bad little girl.
No, let me say something.
No, don't tell me.
If I wasn't here, I would surely take a day off from you and then a day off from these kids. I'm not in the classroom. I'm just done with you.
So hostility can come in at pretty young age. And there's times when I feel like taking a day off from all of you. I'm sure that some of the staff here feel like that at times. But not that any have said that to me. But love the fact that she calls her Linda and it's not even her name. That's quite impressive. And the desire to run the show. And part of the problem is we live in a world where we don't run the show. And it's not always as easy as taking a vacation from everybody. And certainly in the time that Peter was writing, there was considerable hostility towards the believers. They were scattered and they were living for God in a society that doesn't know him. When I grew up, not that long ago, Christianity was very much a backdrop to society. So I had friends that would go to Sunday school with me. Their parents never darkened the doors of a church, but they actually thought it was a pretty good thing for their kids to do. They thought there was something worthwhile at church, so they sent them along. And it was very much the backdrop to our laws at the time. Pretty much all the laws were undergirded by the Bible. And science and medicine too had that sort of real Christian undergirding in terms of things like medical ethics. And that's certainly changed significantly. Now Christian values are not widely accepted, often seen as dated. And one of the great crimes in our society is intolerance. And Christians are seen as representatives of being intolerant. And there's a sense that you need to tolerate everybody, often with the exception of Christians. Social media has resulted in keyboard warriors who can get their opinions out there, and they can also criticise your opinions pretty quickly online. I work with a lot of ministries overseas, and they certainly experience significant hostility. I was meant to go and visit our workers in China prior to COVID. And there'd been a big security crackdown. And we got to a point we decided it was better I didn't go, because by me going and visiting our various workers, I was actually linking them to the one organisation and highlighting the fact that they were Christians. And so rather than encouraging them, I was probably making things worse for them. And there's been a number of workers there that have had government officials just storm into their house, go through all their stuff, and often want to access their electronic devices. They want to know their contacts. And when they find out their contacts, they assume that they're Christians and they'll make a visit to them and try and get their contacts and try to find out who's being subversive in their minds. They even they use facial recognition a lot. So from the time you hit the airport to the time you leave, they can usually track where you've been. And there's even a point system that's been introduced. So you get positive points for living according to what their government values, and you get points deducted if you do anything subversive. And those points come into play for things like admission to universities, getting home loans, getting jobs. So pretty significant hostility if you don't toe the line. On my last trip to India, which was March of last year, as I was leaving, I don't think I felt under as much pressure in terms of getting cross-examined about who I'd seen, what were their names, what were their contact details. And the government there sort of pushes fairly militant Hinduism. When I travel to Indonesia, I often get woken up at about 5 o'clock in the morning by the call to the minaret, so the call to prayer from the mosques. And you hear that throughout the day, a really strong reminder that Christians are in a minority. There was an English author called Julian Barnes who was an agnostic. So an atheist doesn't believe there's a God, an agnostic's not sure. And he gave this quote. He said, "I don't believe in God, but I miss him." I thought that was quite profound. Just making the point that he appreciated Christian influence in the world, even though he wasn't a Christian. And this passage that Jason read for us talks about how to honour God in this hostile world. And it covers two areas. One is the way we relate to others, and the other is the way we relate within the church, the way we relate to other believers. So in verse 8, it actually looks at honouring God by how we relate to each other, to other believers. That's a good witness to those around us, but it's also a good support to us. And the first is talking about being like-minded or in harmony. My daughter Jess started playing the flute when she was in grade 5, and she played in a band. And when we went to those concerts, they were interesting. You were outstanding, Jess, but the other kids, interesting. They were just learning to play music, so they didn't understand music very well, except for Jess, obviously. And some of them struggled to get sounds out of their instruments. And some of those sounds would be better off if they never did come out of those instruments. So we would sit and entertained loosely. But by the time Jess got to year 12, you know, they understood music really well. They were practiced at playing their instruments, and it actually sounded really good. And I think that's like us as believers. Like, the Bible is the songbook that we should be playing from. And if we're in sync in terms of the Bible being the background to our lives, that's actually a beautiful thing to witness. But when we're not all living according to the Bible, we're out of sync, we're out of harmony. And that doesn't bring glory to God. The other thing he talks about is being sympathetic. You know, when you're sympathetic, you care about and are sorry for someone else's struggles. Paul in Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." That's something that draws us closer together, and it also reflects us being one body. We sadly lost one of our workers in Nepal from brain cancer about a week ago. Her name was Joelle, and she was 59. And about a month ago, she was due to go back to the US on what we call home assignment. And she was having some quite bad headaches. And our field leader in Nepal is actually a doctor. And this doctor suggested that she should probably go to the hospital even before she goes to the US. And it turns out she was riddled with brain cancer. And she went downhill so quickly she couldn't get on a plane back to the US. And so this doctor, Rose, and she lived with another doctor, Christine, they had Joelle in a hospital bed in their lounge room. And there was no hospice care available, and so they cared for her. And all our missionaries visited, they sat by her bed, they held her hand, they prayed for her. And Joelle passed, but it was a beautiful testimony to the love of this group and the sympathy that they were showing for Joelle. And it had a really profound impact on the Nepalese around them. Being sympathetic and showing love are two of the things that Peter talks about as very powerful. And love for one another is huge. Jesus said that his disciples would be known by their love for one another in John 13:35. That's actually what should define us. It's what defines God. 1 John 4 verse 8 says God is love. Really short verse, but it's at the heart of who God is. Now, I have three children, and so when my eldest daughter, Rachel, was born, all my quota of child love went to Rachel. And I loved her dearly. She was my child, my daughter. And then Jessica was born, and I had to split that love 50-50. So Jess got half, and Rach got half. And then Josh came along, and I had to split it three ways. So Josh sort of didn't really know as much love. No, that's not how it works, is it? As a parent, your love can expand and your love for other people can expand as well. And it's a powerful thing when people see love. It's actually something that draws people to us as Christians. Peter also says we should show compassion. And compassion is also very significant. It's love that's looking out to others, and we need to show compassion to our fellow believers as well as to those in society. And finally, he says humility. And the opposite of humility is pride. When we're proud, we think we're better than others. And so it's kind of hard to think too much about others when we're pretty obsessed with ourselves. Josh had a birthday party yesterday, and one of the boys was talking about his brother who was really trendy, and he said he had five girlfriends. Sounds like a slight exaggeration, but he talked about his brother looking in the mirror all the time, and he had another brother and he liked the other brother better. And it seemed like, not wanting to hammer this kid, but it seemed like pride was a bit of an issue for the brother with the supposed five girlfriends. Still not convinced. But pride is not a pretty thing, but humility is actually quite an attractive thing. In Philippians 2, it shows how humble Jesus was, that even though he was God's son, he was willing to humble himself to come down and die on a cross like a criminal, which is amazing. Pride gets in the way of our relationship with God and with others, but humility is something that strengthens relationships. And something for us to think about is, as we relate to our fellow believers, are we like-minded? Are we sympathetic? Are we loving? Are we compassionate? And are we humble? And if not, how can we be more so? That's certainly something I find a challenge. And that's the foundation for honouring God by how we relate to those who are hostile to us, to those who are not believers. And what Peter says here is pretty challenging. In chapter 3, verse 9, in terms of honouring God by how we relate to those hostile, he says, repay evil with blessing. That doesn't even make sense. Surely it makes more sense if someone's evil, you repay them with evil. If someone blesses you, you repay them with a blessing. But often in the Bible, things are very countercultural. How do you react if someone's mean to you or insults you? My natural reaction, apart from God, is to want to come back with a bigger insult or to be mean to them. In the past, I don't do it as much now, thankfully, but I've rehearsed, you know, conversations in my head about, you know, what I'm going to say to them. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to tell them that, and I actually feel a bit good about, you know, all the mean things I've rehearsed, which is not really a good way to go. And Peter tells us not to do that. He tells us the opposite, to repay evil with a blessing. And Jesus actually modeled that behavior. As they were about to crucify Jesus, the soldiers knew he was going to die, and so he wouldn't need his clothes, his cloak. And so they were working out how to divide up his stuff. And while they were doing that, Jesus was praying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," in Luke 23, verse 34. I would have prayed something like, "Father, strike them down with lightning and may they die a horrible death." Thankfully, God sent Jesus and not me. But I think most of us would want to repay evil with evil. And yet, that's not what we're told. Sarah and I enjoy watching different crime shows. And I always like it when the bad guy gets their just desserts. You think, yeah, that's awesome. Now they got arrested or they got shot, only in a fantasy context, in real life not so much. But in Matthew 5 verse 44, Jesus says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's an incredibly hard thing to do, and yet it's what Jesus did. And Peter had first-hand experience of the contrast. So when Jesus was arrested, Judas went up and kissed Jesus on the cheek to identify him. And the soldiers went to arrest him. And Peter grabbed a sword and hacked off the ear of one of the soldiers. Go, Peter. You know, that's good stuff. And yet what Jesus did was he actually healed the guy's ear. What is that about? Complete contrast. Peter was a very fiery guy, very passionate guy. And we see God use that passion. He's the guy writing this letter to us now. Jesus taught him a completely different way to repay evil with blessing. And the Greek word for bless is eulogio, which literally means to speak well of somebody. And it's actually the basis for the English word eulogy. And a eulogy is when you say nice things about people at their death. And if you're ever going to say nice things about someone, it's at their funeral. You know, that's the one time you're probably not going to get up and say, Kim was a great guy, but he owed me $20. You know, you're probably going to keep that a little bit quiet. Not wishing you death, Kim, but you're going to keep that a little bit quiet at the funeral. That's the time that you say nice things. And sadly, it's often the only time people get to hear a lot of nice things said about someone is at the person's funeral. But that's the sort of standard that Peter's calling us to speak well of people. And Jesus' instruction and the apostles' example goes far beyond just a friendly disposition to really active prayer and intercession. In the book of Acts with the new church, in chapter 7, verse 60, Stephen was being stoned, literally throwing rocks at the guy until he died. And as he was about to die, he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's pretty incredible. Stephen's behavior, and for us to behave like that, is really only possible with God's strength and the help of his Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. That's a pretty high standard. Our great desire shouldn't be revenge, but for God to grant them repentance. And that's only possible with God's help by his Spirit. That's something we need to be asking for every day. As people are being unkind to you in person or online, how can you repay that with a blessing? That's not an easy thing. The other aspect of what Peter asks us to do as we relate to non-believers is to be ready to share our faith. In verse 16, it's interesting that he says we need to have a good record to have integrity. But in verse 15, he says, be ready to explain what you believe with gentleness and respect. They're both incredibly important. Some of our young workers struggle with the fact that my generation and older often want to get into it with non-believers, particularly online. And that can result in being rude or unkind, not gentle or respectful. It's something I was told at university when I was a law student that used to enjoy debating was that no one was ever argued into the kingdom. Our being kind to them in the face of evil can open the door to share why we are different. Us being antagonistic tends to close that door. One of the things I really wanted to do in Tokyo when we started Sunrise Cafe was to have some sort of compassionate outreach to really demonstrate that we cared for people. And I wasn't sure how that would look. And God brought some volunteers that were working at a local orphanage. And they introduced me to the orphanage, and I asked if we could volunteer at their short stay program. So kids used to come in from difficult home situations, and we would spend an afternoon on the weekend looking after these kids. And then we started doing other things. So we had a world-class sculptor come and do some ministry at the cafe, and we took him along to do a class at the orphanage. And they didn't have materials, so we brought the materials. And I had someone in Australia that wanted to make them clothes, and I asked if they'd be interested in clothes, and they were really excited about that, and they were shocked that we brought new clothes. Who does that for orphans? That was their thinking. And the kids couldn't have birthday parties. They didn't have money for birthday cakes. And so every couple of months, we'd put on a kids' party for all of them at the cafe. And they were pretty clear that any of these things that we did, there could be no talk about Christianity. They were quite strict on that. And after about a year, we were putting on a kids' party at Easter. And I asked the manager, would it be okay if I told the story of Easter? And she said, sure, no problem at all. And then Christmas, could I tell the story of Christmas? Sure, no problem. We'd built trust with them. We'd shown them love and kindness, and so that opened the door for us to be able to share a gospel message with them. Well, why should we relate to others in this way, a way that honours God? Significantly, it points them to Jesus, but Peter also talks in verses 10 to 12. He quotes from Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. He says, "The reward for not retaliating and instead blessing is loving life and seeing good days." And in the psalm, life and good days refer to life on earth. But Peter goes beyond that and applies that to eternal salvation. By seeking to bless others rather than retaliate, we have a better chance of having peace with others. We have more internal peace when we're not consumed by seeking revenge. But there's the greater reward of eternal life in heaven, where every day will be a good day. And finally, Peter says the reward is that God listens to our prayers if we are righteous, if we seek to repay evil with blessing. And that's a powerful reward, that the Creator of heaven and earth would answer our prayers. So you've probably already experienced hostility to Christian beliefs. So just to recap in terms of honouring God in a hostile world, firstly by the way we relate to each other, being like-minded, sympathetic, loving, compassionate and humble. That allows us to support each other, but it's a great witness. But secondly, as we relate to others, we should seek to repay evil with blessing. That's hard, but it's also powerful. And we also should be willing to share what we believe when the opportunity presents, but with gentleness and respect. The rewards are great both now and in heaven. And if you're not yet a believer, the same God that would pray for people that were dividing up his clothes as he was about to be killed, that same Jesus wants a relationship with you, even if you've shown no interest in him. And for those of us who believe, let's consider this week how we can react in difficult situations by seeking to model Jesus, by seeking to bless people that may even be creating those struggles. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this church. I thank you for those here today, for those that are online. Dear Lord, we are very aware that much of the world is opposed or disagrees or couldn't care less about the things that we believe in. But Lord, I pray that we would support each other in the way we relate to each other, and that that would be a witness. And Lord, I just pray that we would seek to bless others, even if they don't care or even if they may be doing evil to us. And Lord, I just pray that we would be ready to give an answer for what we believe in, Lord, but that we would do it in a way that is gentle and respectful. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Owen. I'd